Hey everyone, welcome to the Voices in Japan podcast with your hosts Ben and Burke. On today's show, we talk about loan words or waseego. These are words that are borrowed from other languages and are commonly used as part of the Japanese language. So with these loan words, the Japanese usually put their own spin on them, producing never before seen or heard of words, and then also putting a katakana pronunciation into the mix as well. An example of these is a konbini, which is derived from convenience store. Some of these words are pretty important and essential when living or if you're visiting Japan, and some of them are just downright confusing and don't make any sense at all. There are many of these waseego, and new ones just keep popping up every year. But on today's episode, Burke and I discuss the ones that we find the most interesting. All right, enjoy the show.
1, 2, 3.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I was really busy at the beginning of the year, but finally getting some time again to train some jiu-jitsu, get back in the gym and stuff. And so that's been good. It's been a little bit rough, but feeling much better, getting some exercise. Exercise is always good for the soul.
I haven't seen you down the dojo recently. When did you go back?
Well, I think I can usually only go Friday nights and sometimes Monday nights, and again that means going at from the 9:30 class, 9:30 p.m.
late class,
and I think that's very different from the times that you're usually going.
Yeah, I never go to that late class.
How about you?
It was my birthday recently.
That's right. Happy birthday, Ben.
Yeah. Do you know how old I am, Bert?
Yeah, 22.
So it just turned 38.
Wow.
38.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Feeling it. I'm starting to feel a bit older. On my actual birthday, I didn't drink at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like no drinking. I went out to dinner with the missus for lunch. We went to Yakiniku, which was very nice. And then we went to Costco and we got a new vacuum cleaner.
Oh, really?
Well, Costco's amazing because you can take stuff back. Doesn't matter how old you've had, how long you've had it, what condition it is.
It's kind of like the American mentality of returning products. Yeah.
Right. And I only found this out through a friend who used to live in. He used to do it all the time. And our old Dyson vacuum cleaner was kind of, wasn't working very well. The power was kind of weakened. We had it for about 2 years. And I was like, man, we should just take it back. So I called them up, explained the situation. They're like, yeah, come on down. We'll give you your money back. And then, so we went down there. They did give a full refund.
Wow.
And then we just bought a new one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old was it, did you say?
2 years old.
Wow. So over 1 year.
Yeah. But the quality of that old one did deteriorate quite a lot. And so I was a bit disappointed. Like, man, it's a Dyson. It shouldn't be that bad so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was right to get a refund after that long. But I was surprised that they gave me a full refund.
Yeah, and this is Japanese staff, obviously, that are taking care of it and stuff.
Yeah, because
I think we've talked about it before. Returning products in Japan is very unheard of. Of course, Costco, I guess, is an overseas company or store, so that's why they're more willing to
Very happy to help. And then in the evening, had sushi at home. But no alcohol. And then just had a quiet night, fell asleep about 10:30.
Wow, and you still felt content with that?
Yeah. I kind of my friends were messaging me saying, because it was a Saturday night too.
Wow.
And my friends messaged me so what's the plan? Are you coming out, going out to drink, whatever? You want to meet up later on? I was like, no, I'm just gonna stay home and chill.
Yeah.
And I was happy with that because, I don't know, just since 2020, I haven't really been feel like I wanting to drink, So I haven't been drinking that much this year at all. Maybe two or three weekends this year so far, I've been out drinking. Yeah, just not really feeling that I want to drink alcohol.
Yeah, even for me too, it's only if something's going on, then I'm going out to you know, to be a part of that activity with a group of people and stuff. I'm still having the occasional beer or something at home. And actually some friends I visited recently went to the Yoichi Distillery in out past Otaru, and they brought back some good whiskey. So I've kind of been sipping on that a little bit. Actually, speaking of whiskey, did you hear that Yamazaki is going to release a special edition whiskey, and they're going to be selling it for about $27,000. But they're only distributing like 50 bottles.
Wow.
And so the people can only buy it by winning a lottery to be eligible to buy it. But yeah, it's going to be like $27,000. But yeah, I mean, here I'm getting into the talk about the whiskey and stuff, and you're saying that you're kind of going in the other direction, but I know you're a whiskey guy.
So. I do like whiskey. I actually drank some whiskey, not my birthday, but before that, around a friend's house. Not a lot, like just a nice one glass. But it's always nice to have like good whiskey, and you don't usually have hangovers the next day if it's good quality.
I can't remember how long they said this whiskey has been aged, but they said a similar aged whiskey sold for like $300,000 in 2018. So this whiskey is very high priced to buy it, about, you know, $27,000, $30,000 US, but you can sell it for like 10 times that amount. So if you had a whiskey that you could sell for 10 times the amount, or it was very a novel item that hardly anybody has, which would you do? Would you drink it and sip it on special occasions, or do you think you would sell it?
I think I'd sell it. Yeah, that's a good investment, actually.
It's a very good investment.
Are you going for the lottery?
I'm thinking about it. I think everybody, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. I'm going to keep the people involved as low as possible, but I think there's already going to be a lot of people in. So, yeah. So
yeah, tell me after.
Yeah. I'll give you the details on how to get in for that. But yeah,
for sure. So today we are talking about loan words, or wase ego,
which literally means words made in Japan. Wa is one of the words that represents Japan. Se means to create or to construct. Seisan. So yes, this comes wase and ego is English. So words that are English words that are created in Japan.
There are a lot, and it depends where you look on where they come from. I mean, there's a lot of obvious ones that you can kind of figure out, like biru for beer, biru beer, soccer,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. So there's some that you can kind of figure out, but there's some really obscure ones where a lot of Japanese people think that they're actually English words that even Westerners like us, we don't even understand what they mean.
Yeah, or they just, they are English words, but they're kind of clumsily put together. They're not something you would ever use in your native country and stuff. So
a common one, which is kind of quite new, that the Japanese use, that the Westerners don't use, I'm pretty sure they don't use, is NG.
NG. Oh, NG. Yeah, NG.
NG means no good. Stands for no good.
Yeah.
So everyone knows what that means, but Japanese use it a lot. The Westerners, we don't use it, right?
No, I've never heard it before. I mean, it kind of, you can figure out what they're saying. And to be honest, like, people were using it so commonly sometimes that I was like, oh, is this used in overseas? And I just didn't hear about it or something. But yeah, obviously, it's, I mean, people know, native speakers know that it's not an actual native English word and stuff. So.
Yeah, so they use quite a lot of abbreviations sometimes too that we don't use.
Yeah.
You know, in the English language, we use a lot of abbreviations, you know, FBI, CD,
yeah,
stuff like that. But the Japanese kind of take it a step further and use it even more than we do. Like they use SNS, social network system.
Yeah.
But we don't use that.
Don't we?
No, we say social media.
Oh, social media. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they don't say, Japanese don't say social media. They just say SNS. And I remember hearing that when I first came, they would kept saying SNS.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what they were talking about.
Yeah. Mm. There's a lot that they use my, like my is, you know, possessive pronoun. My pace, doing something at one's own pace. You know, a Japanese example, they always say, like, kanojo wa mai pace da, I mean, it's like she's always working at her own pace. She always does things how she wants to. Another one, My Boom.
My Boom.
Do you have anything recently that is My Boom?
A recent My Boom. So My Boom is like means a recent hobby or something you've been interested in.
Exactly, yeah. Like in Japan, people get into K-pop music. So they'll say like, yeah, recently My Boom is K-pop music or Korean music.
I've never actually heard anyone use that. Have you actually?
My Boom?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've had friends say it to you.
Well, I think it was something that was popular like a few years ago. I haven't heard it recently, but at that time, yeah, I was hearing it quite often.
So that'd be like My Boom Wa.
Yeah, if you talked about, oh, what did you go out and do last weekend, and then be like, oh, so do Baku, My Boom.
Wow, I've never heard that before.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's your My Boom? Or you don't say Your Boom?
Your Boom. It's not like a recent thing, but obviously I would say like jiu-jitsu. Well, actually, I think it's usually for something you're recently getting into. So
like a new thing.
Yeah, so last year we could have said like podcasting.
Mm,
My Boom.
Right.
And
we've
kind of been doing it for our second year now.
Yeah. They have that same thing with the My Number.
Yeah, exactly. My Number.
Which is social security number.
Yeah, social security number.
Yeah. Or the individual number.
Yeah.
Is another name for it. Yeah, why they named it My Numbers.
Yeah, because
it's something so official.
Yeah, like my whatever, My Boom, or another one is like My Bag is like the bags that you take to the grocery store instead of getting plastic bags. But yeah, there's all these, but they're kind of like slang, they feel like slang words. But then, yeah, the government used My Number for this very official social security and stuff.
And I just remember, like, the office staff saying, do you have My Number? And I'm like, your number?
Yeah.
No, I got whose number?
Yeah.
Any other favorite ones that you like?
Actually, one that I was surprised to find out about was, we've talked about it before, nomunication. Which is the combination of nomu, which means drinking, and communication. So we talk about, like, if you go out with your people at work, it's very important to have nomunication, like an opportunity to go out drinking, let your guard down and get to know each other, talk about work topics. But this is actually a very old word. I thought it was, like, kind of a more recent word. Did you know this is actually quite an old word?
No.
It came up maybe even a couple decades ago, or at least a decade ago. I thought it was like something that was kind of more recent.
And it's interesting, like the Japanese in that way, they're using half a Japanese word and half a Western word and half an English word and joining them together to make some kind of mess. I don't know why they decided to do that.
Yeah.
So another good example is masukomi.
Masukomi.
Which is mass. Oh, no, that's two
English words.
Yeah,
that's two English words.
Pasokon, that's two English words, I guess, right?
Yeah,
Pasokon,
personal computer.
Yeah. Personal computer. So ones that were, when I first came here, that I got confused about was the use of Japanese like to use mansion.
Yes.
Which means, in Japan, means apartment. So obviously in English, ours means like a giant estate or a castle or something. So I just remember my Japanese friend saying, oh, yeah, I live in a mansion. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I come around.
And it's like, oh, you're the third person who's told me that. Everybody's living in these large mansions, man.
This one I found out recently that a lot of Japanese still don't understand, that they think pan, as in bread. Is English for bread.
Yeah, and I didn't understand that when I used to hear it so often when I first came to Japan. What did you have? Because teaching English, it's very easy to ask students about what did they have for breakfast that day or lunch that day. And they're like saying, pan. And they're like, man, because they're getting frustrated because they're like in an English class and what they're trying to say in English, like the teacher doesn't understand, you know. But yeah, did you say what pan means?
Pan means bread.
Yeah, bread.
Yeah, but pan is French, right? French. So the French word pan.
Is it French?
Yeah.
Is it Dutch? It's not Dutch. French.
Yeah, French.
Okay.
Yeah. But Japanese, they think that pan is English.
Yeah.
So they don't actually know the word bread, really. Unless they learn it in school or something.
Yeah, you were asking like what was one of my favorite. I don't know if it's one of my favorite, but it was an interesting one that you hear quite often too. Is a pepa duraiba. I'm actually a paper driver. You're a paper driver. Yeah. So what is a paper driver?
Paper driver is someone that has a driving license that doesn't really drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they call a paper driver.
In Japan, I think you can get your driver's license when you're, what, 18 or something?
Something like that.
And especially in a big city like this, you know, people are using the subways and the buses, so they're not driving in cars very often, so you'll find a lot of people who say that they're just a paper driver.
Yeah, there's a lot of paper drivers, right?
I think so, yeah.
But there's no word for that in English, is there? I don't think someone who doesn't drive so much.
I mean, I've never lived in a big city, so I don't know what it's like in a big city when people have a license, but they're not actually ever using it. But, I mean, people just feel like, hey, I've got my driver's license. Maybe because in Japan, like, there's a very long, like, course that people go through to get their driver's license. Like, a lot of people pay, like, a few thousand dollars to go to driving school, and that, like, carries over or takes, like, 1 year or something. Before they actually take the test. The test is actually very extensive, the written test. I guess it is overseas too, but they go through all this work to get the driver's license and then they're not actually using it. But in the U.S., it was kind of like pretty easy to get your driver's license, so it didn't seem like, it was almost kind of like when you turn this age or you know you're going to get it.
So England too. Yeah. You don't have to take a course. You just take lessons and then when you feel you're ready, just do the test.
Yeah, but in Japan, maybe they feel like they went through this whole thing, but then they're not actually using the driver's license. So that's why they call it just paper driver.
Paper driver, yeah. I got one, though. I don't really understand how to explain it. Plus alpha.
Plus alpha.
They use it a lot.
Is it used overseas or no?
I've never heard it overseas. I only heard it when I came to Japan. And I don't really know how to explain what it means. But I remember I was teaching like an English course with a Japanese teacher. So I would explain it in English, she would explain it in Japanese. And she kept using plus alpha to mean give more details. So I would say, okay, you have to give more examples. So you give a reason, give an example. And then she would say, give a reason plus alpha.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if they use that a lot in business as well.
They do. They use it very often in business. And that's why I thought, like, just because my business experience, I mean, I had worked, like, for 3 years in finance and accounting when I was in the U.S., but I was still quite young and didn't have too much business experience when I came here. But I would hear it in business a lot now in Japan.
Okay.
So now I was like, I don't know if this is used. I thought it was something that was used. But, yeah, like, well, they'll talk about it a lot for, like, scheduling or... they'll use it in the case where, you know, they're trying to plan out something, but they're going to add a little bit more, space into what might actually occur because you don't know, there might be some X factors that come into play or something. So say, oh, we'll do this much plus alpha, you know, put in a little bit of extra space there for something else to happen if it needs to. One word that I kind of got sick of hearing when I first got here, but now it, especially at the recent Rugby World Cup, kind of got excited to see people doing this again, but guts pose. Guts pose.
What's that?
Guts pose. It's whenever like an athlete or somebody does something like, yeah, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, or just like, score a goal or something. Like, yeah, this is, yeah, the fist, holding your fist like in front of you or something. This is called guts pose. You never heard guts pose?
No, no. Like they call it, Japanese say guts pose.
Yeah, guts pose. And so it's like, whenever, I mean, during the Rugby World Cup or something, obviously when people would score the goal, they'd be like, yeah, guts pose. Or they were describing it. The broadcaster would be describing the scene after somebody scores a goal. They're like, yeah, he scored the goal, and then he did the guts pose, and I got so excited and stuff. So you never heard guts pose?
No, but I've seen them use it a lot. So they always use it in commercials, advertising.
Yeah.
Companies love to use the guts pose, like you're saying.
Right? Yeah, I mean, even like overseas athletes, obviously in basketball or American football or whatever, you know, when they do a great play or something, a lot of times they'll do like the fist in the air. So I mean, there's a very famous scene of Michael Jordan doing that. You know, and they call it the guts pose.
The guts pose.
Yeah.
And kind of following on to that, they like to say, use that guts pose to say, fight!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, fight.
Which doesn't actually mean fight someone. It means try your best.
Yeah, it's like, I'll do this together, like,
yeah,
like all of our energy.
Yeah, well. But they use that for every situation. So, I mean, we get it in jiu-jitsu, which kind of makes sense when they're like, yeah, fight if you're in a tournament or something.
Yeah.
But you get it in, you know, if you're going to take a test or you're going to do something that's difficult, your friends will just say, fight, fight. Yeah. So I remember when I first started hearing that, yeah, it was quite hard to get used to because, yeah, I didn't want to fight someone.
Yeah, just do your best.
Yeah.
Another one that comes up popular during winter time is, actually, I guess it's not just for winter, but Dr. Stoppe. Dr. Stoppe.
I don't know that one either.
You ever heard Dr. Stoppe? This is when your doctor kind of says, like, you shouldn't be doing something. So a lot of times it happens for, like, after people get their annual health check.
Mm.
And, like, you go out drinking with some people, and one guy's not really drinking. You're asking, like, why aren't they drinking? And like, oh, Dr. Stopp. I say, like, the doctor kind of recommended that he didn't drink so much alcohol or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Dr. Stopp.
Yeah, it's when your doctor gives you a recommendation about something to, like, improve your health or something like that, or for recovery purposes.
Yeah, yeah. Another useful one, I think, for travelers to know is that they use fried potato to mean French fries.
French fries,
right?
Yeah.
Or chips, if you're British.
Yeah.
But they, in Japan, they use fried potato. What do they use for? So we say crisps. You say?
French fries.
No, the packet of crisps.
Oh, like, you mean like potato chips?
Yeah, so you say potato chips.
Yeah.
What they say? They say chips in Japan? Maybe. Potato, don't they? Potato chips?
They say, what do they say? I mean, they say okashi, obviously.
Yeah, they like definitely don't say crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find that very hard to say.
I think they might say potato chips.
I think they might just say potato.
That also means French fries, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But be aware when they say fried potato, French fries.
Yeah, chips. If you want to order at a restaurant some French fries or something. Actually, I think now they kind of, I mean, they do kind of understand, oh, this is a foreigner saying French fries, but the meaning will be understood much better if you use potato or fried potato.
You can even just say potato, right?
Yeah, just
potato. They'll understand.
Yeah.
They won't give you like a potato, whole uncooked one.
Yeah. There are some kind of dirty words. Not really dirty words.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're kind of dirty, but this whole thing about pink. Pink eiga or pink bira or pink chirashi, pink handout and stuff.
It means it's to do with something sexual.
Yeah, something sexual. So pink eiga might be like an X-rated movie. Or something. Pink chirashi is like a pink leaflet. This is something handout maybe in the entertainment district of the city here in Sapporo and Suskino, kind of advertising some of those types of establishments and things like that.
Yeah. Have you heard of Virgin Road?
Virgin Road. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the wedding aisle.
Yeah. So sounds a little bit sketchy, but it's actually just referring to the wedding aisle. But do they say that? I kind of they don't say that overseas.
Nah, they can't do. But I remember when I heard that, I was like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's used the word virgin in a wedding. You know, not many people are.
Could have called it the Virgin Road, like the last time to be a virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another one, have you heard of a Dutch wife?
I think I've heard it, but I don't.
Actually, you mentioned this in the episode with Yumi, that you were sick, actually.
Okay.
What turns Japanese women on. And, Yumi used the word Dutch wife.
I think I remember that, and I think I remember thinking, like, what was that?
It's a sex doll.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember bringing that up,
yeah. So I've never heard that before, so I didn't.
Oh, yeah, and you were saying in the episode that's kind of maybe rude to Dutch people.
Yeah, it's a bit racist.
Yeah.
So I did some research, and apparently Dutch wife means any item or person that makes rest or sleep more pleasant or practical. That's what Dutch wife means. But where it originates from, this is also a bit dubious. Like there's various answers, but one answer I found was around the 1600s, the English anything that was considered inferior, irregular, or not normal to British practices, they put the word Dutch in front of it.
Oh, really?
So it was a bit racist, derogatory in the 1600s. So that was one thing that I found where it kind of originated from. But I couldn't find a definitive answer.
Was there anything else that in Japan they're using Dutch for besides Dutch wife that you know of or not?
Just the Dutch wife. Yeah,
that was kind of interesting, but just like you kind of mentioned, a little bit, not too polite towards Dutch people.
Mm.
Another kind of dirty word, well, I guess not a dirty word, but it sounds like it, is skinship.
Oh, yeah.
That came up in the episode we did at the beer garden. We were kind of asking one of the young ladies what's the difference between overseas boy or foreign boyfriend or Japanese boyfriend, and she was saying skinship.
What Japanese look for in a man.
Yeah.
That episode.
Yeah.
Oh, and she liked skinship.
Yeah, and it sounds a little bit erotic or something, but it actually just means physical contact in an intimate relationship.
Hugging.
So, yeah, this... example on this website is saying like koromoto no skinship wo taisetsu ni shinai to ne, basically meaning like you need to value skinship with children. So obviously this doesn't mean like pedophilia or anything. This is talking about just being intimate and showing affection towards children. So skinship just means intimate physical contact and intimate relationship,
holding hands.
Yeah,
because you don't see that very often in Japan, like couples. I mean, you see, like, high school kids doing it, but you don't really see adults walking around holding hands.
You don't see them holding hands. Like, man, like, I remember recently going to Europe and in Italy, northern Italy, and just, like, couples, like, hugging, maybe even kissing on the cheek and stuff out in public. And being in Japan for so long, it's like, man, get a room.
Yeah.
You don't see it in Japan.
Yeah. And for being so long here, I remember going home to England and seeing, like old people. Really old people, you know, seniors in their 60s, 70s walking down the street holding hands. And it's really cute. It's really sweet to see that. But you wouldn't really see that in Japan, right?
No, especially older people.
Yeah. Even sometimes in Japan, you still see the couple, the old couple, where the guy is slightly ahead of his wife.
Yeah, I was crossing the street the other day, and there were only two people in front of me. But yeah, the husband, it was an older couple, and the husband was walking in front of the woman, and I was kind of wondering, like, are these two people together? Are they not together? But they're both in my way. Like, if you guys are together, can't you kind of get together? And because I was in a bit of a hurry, but I was like, yeah, it reminded me that that's kind of the situation where the man will walk in front of the woman.
So that's very traditional.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And wasn't that because during the Edo period, like the samurai times, it was because the man was going ahead to check for trouble? Before, if there was,
oh really?
Yes, if there was like an attacker, possibly like going into a room, it would be always like the man first, so he'd be ready to defend his wife. So that's you know, kind of a good move. Instead of the whole ladies first, you go get killed first.
Yeah, act of chivalry, but now it just kind of looks like severe discrimination. Yeah. Unfair towards women. I want to know if you can guess what the meaning of this is.
Pokeberu.
Yeah, so that's a
pocket bell.
Yeah, this is short for pocket bell. Pokeberu.
Is it an old word or a new word?
It is a little bit outdated, yes.
Okay, so they don't really use it now?
No, probably.
Then I want to guess it's a pager.
Exactly, yes. So they used to call pagers pocket bell, and that was shortened to pokeberu.
Pokeberu. Right. Well, you're going to know this one, but this one was... This one doesn't make any sense. Like when I first heard this one, hochikisu.
Hochikisu. Oh yeah, I know what this means.
Yeah. So it's a stapler.
Yeah, a stapler. Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you know why it's a hochikisu?
No, I have no idea. Did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I guess the kisu is two papers joining together or something.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but I don't know if it's a word that's actually a loan word and borrowed in some other. Culture uses a similar word or not, but
the Japanese like to use borrowed words from all cultures, but I think most Japanese people believe that all those words are borrowed from English. Yeah. So, for example, arubaito.
Arubaito, yeah.
Arubaito, which is arbeite. Arbeite.
Yeah, I'm not sure even how you say it. Is, yeah. Is it a German word?
Yeah, yeah, so it's a German word to mean a part-time job. So the Japanese think that arubaito is an English word. Yeah, but it's not. It's a German word.
Yeah, and even going back to stapler, like I think if you say stapera, do they understand?
No,
I kind of feel like I've always
tried it before.
Yeah, I was like trying because I can't ever remember. Which for some reason I always mix it up. I get the middle mixed up and I say hokichisu sometimes. Yeah, and then I'm just kind of like stapera. Okay, I need a stapler. That even that won't translate or the meaning won't get across. So, can get into a bit of a...
I found it. I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
It's borrowed from English Hotchkiss, which is a company name.
Oh, that produces staplers?
Yeah. Company in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Hotchkiss Company of Newark, Connecticut, U.S., an early and prominent manufacturer of staplers.
I've never heard this before,
yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people these days know some of the popular, work-related, what are they called, tools and stuff. Man, I can't remember any of my English, but, like, there's popular store brands that are called, like, Staples and things like this. I don't think people really know the brand names of a stapler.
Mm. So I guess only Hotchkiss, yeah. Well, I guess we use prit stick?
No.
So in England, we say prit stick to mean, it's like a, I don't know what you call it, it's like a sticky glue. It's like a tube of glue.
Like a glue stick, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you call it glue stick. We call it prit stick,
yeah.
Just because of the company.
Yeah.
And obviously Velcro.
Velcro, yeah.
So that's
is that an, okay, that's another one.
Yeah.
You say Kleenex.
Kleenex, yeah.
Tissue.
So in Japan, they don't say Velcro, they say... Magic tape, right?
Magic tape, yeah.
Yeah, for Velcro.
In a way, I guess it seems a little magic.
It is, man, yeah. Other ones, how about this one? What does cunning mean? If someone says you're cunning.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't actually mean you're cunning.
Yeah, it sounds like a compliment in Japanese, but no, it's actually, you do not want the word cunning to be used for you. That doesn't have a good meaning, right?
Yeah, it means cheating.
Cheating,
yeah, so you're a cheater. Also, one which is kind of quite derogatory is Yankee.
Yankee, yeah.
Which, for you Americans, that's what a Yankee is, right?
Yeah, well,
is that
derogatory? For British people, I think you often refer to us as Yankees, but...
No, I wouldn't say often.
I mean, well, yeah, not often, but it is used, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yanks?
Yeah. Is it derogatory if you hear that?
I mean, personally, I don't feel like, but I think for some reason it might be, have like a slightly derogatory, you know, effect for some people, but what does it mean in Japan, though?
So in Japan, if someone is a Yankee, it means they're like a low-class punk. Like a ruffian. Yeah, I guess in England, we would call that a chav.
Okay.
You'd have heard of chav?
No. Chav.
Yeah, so that's the British term for young kind of troublemakers. You know, they don't really have jobs. They steal stuff. They dress very poorly. They stand out. Like when you see a chav, they wear certain style of clothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what word they're using these days in the U.S., but I might just say like a punk or a delinquent or something.
Mm.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Do you have the equivalent of a chav in America?
Well, I think we just call them like a punk or something. I don't know.
Mm. They don't have a special look, like a special style of clothing that they all kind of wear.
Well,
so for example, in England, a chav would usually wear a tracksuit bombs.
Yeah.
Like sweatpants.
Which is another word that we don't use.
Yeah, sweatpants. Sweatpants. Well. Yeah. Burberry baseball caps.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Burberry scarf.
Oh, so it's a very specific look.
Yeah.
No.
Now it might not be so much anymore, but this was when I was kind of growing up and living in England.
No, I mean, obviously punks are just like, I think it goes back to like punk rock fans. But obviously that's pretty dated as well. It's like in the 80s or something, so.
Have you got any, good ones like for tourists that they might need or they could get confused? I think fried potato is one of those.
Fried potato.
Also, service? Service.
Yeah, something is service that's kind of done for free or included for free.
Mm.
Like at a restaurant.
Yeah, because they don't take tips in Japan. So they would say, if they say, oh, service, that means this is for you for free. Yeah. And they usually give that if you go into a bar, it's like a sit-down snack kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you know someone that works at somewhere, they might give you a free soft drink or something. Or if the manager really likes you for some reason, they might give you some free dish of food.
Yeah, I'll try to think of another useful one for travelers or tourists. But I've got one that was on this web page that I pulled up to kind of look at some of these words. Tofugu.com, which is actually a really interesting website about Japan. But it was the first example they gave, and I want to see if you have heard it or if you know it, is batakusai.
No.
Batakusai.
So batakusai.
This is butter stink. Batakusai. Any guess of what that might mean?
Barakusai. So that's they're loaning an English word and a Japanese word.
Yeah.
Put them together.
Yeah.
And it's batakusai to mean stink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So this is.
Is it something to do with body odor?
No. That's the thing. Like, it doesn't have anything actually to do with smell. This is an adjective that can be used to describe anything that reeks of the foreign and of Western or Westernized styles in particular, which they say apparently is overseas is a land of butter. So yeah, in this example, there Sailor Moon, which is a very popular comic book, but in this example they're saying, Kona batakusai Sailor Moon wa yada. So I'm not a fan of this butter stink Sailor Moon. Basically, the theme might be like too Western or something, so it's not very Japanese. You know?
So it's an adjective to describe something that is too Western, so it's negative.
Yeah, like another example they gave is その brand の戦略専門家は新商品にバタ臭い名前をつけるように言った。So it said the brand strategist professional told us to give the new product a butter stink name. Which means like a very westernized name, yeah. Abarukusai nama, western, very westernized name, yeah.
I got some that may be useful for tourists.
Yes.
Consento.
Consento, this is very important, yeah.
Yeah, what is a consento?
I've got one right behind me on the wall. So yeah, when you want to plug something into the wall, an outlet.
Yeah, plug socket.
Plug socket.
It's a British consento. Another one is stove.
Stove,
yeah. That means a heater.
Yeah, so that's something you gotta... I still have trouble with that because oftentimes when I'm trying to refer to the thing in the kitchen, the stove, and obviously they don't call that the stove. What do they call that?
Cooker?
Oh, range.
Gas range.
Yeah, gas range.
The gas range.
Yeah, it's the burners in your kitchen. The stove is the heater.
So those are useful ones. Waishatsu.
Waishatsu, yeah.
Waishatsu. If you're getting dry cleaning,
yeah.
It just means a shirt.
Or like a business shirt.
Business shirt. Do you know why it's called a waishatsu?
I used to think it was just because it was like a white like business suit, but
Yeah. It came from the word white shirt.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I thought it had originally the shape, no? Or no?
I think if some people think that because of that shape, right?
Yeah.
But it actually came from the word white. Because of business suits.
Okay.
Yeah, so because white shirts is a business shirt, right? It's not like if we take a cotton shirt, that doesn't class as a white shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that would have a separate price tag.
Okay.
If you're going to get dry cleaning. Anything else, Berg? All right, how about this one?
Yeah.
Do you know what is the wase ego for jeans?
What is it, man? I know it because I can't think right now, but in my company, when we sometimes have meetings on the weekend, a lot of people ask, you know, it's okay to wear jeans. And man, I can't think of it right now. What is it?
Jipan.
Jipan, yeah. Jipan. Jipan.
But I think they do know what jeans are now, right? Like
yeah.
If you go to a shop, they know what jeans are. So you don't have to say, can I see some jipan?
Yeah.
You can say jeans.
Yeah. I mean, one that I also hear pretty often at work is aponashi. Aponashi.
Aponashi?
Apo.
Aponashi.
This is also another English, Japanese, and English has been shortened. So aponashi. Nashi means without or no. Apo is shortened for appointamento. Appointment.
Oh.
So aponashi means to go somewhere without an appointment. Wow. Yeah, trying to go in this example, actually, they're talking about a tattoo parlor, which aren't too many of those in Japan, but or the doctor's office, or in business, you know, it means to go see somebody without an appointment or have a business meeting without an appointment. Aponashi.
Any more back? Any more? I think I'm pretty much done with the useful ones or interesting ones I know.
Well, there's a lot on this thing, but I think I've mentioned most of the ones that
are interesting.
Yeah, except for, here's one. And I'm sure you've heard this. Ice candy. Ice candy.
I have heard that.
Ice
yeah.
candy. Yeah, which is a frozen popsicle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys call them popsicles?
No, we call them ice lollies.
Ice lolly. Oh,
ice
like a lollipop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, here's an interesting one. Catch border.
Oh, yeah, just catch ball.
Yeah, so you've never heard this one before?
Well,
I mean, it's obviously comes from playing catch.
Yeah.
Catch ball. This is actually talks about communication is important. So back and forth engagement or engaging conversation between people. So, yeah, in business settings, they'll say like catch ball shio or they'll say like, oh, they were having good catch ball, which means like the communication was... during the meeting was flowing very smoothly. The meeting was going very well and stuff. So,
did you ever hear that at work?
I hear this quite often. Yeah, catch border. I mean, nobody says like catch border shio, like let's go have a conversation. But they do talk a lot about the communications during the meeting were going well. Like they refer to it as catch border.
So the Japanese language is constantly evolving to include a lot more foreign words.
Yeah, and like sometimes you can kind of just like, if you don't know a word, you can just try and throw it out there with the Japanese katakana accent and see if they understand.
Well, there are a lot of these wase-ego words. I mean, I think if you go on like Wikipedia, they have like over 90. I don't know how many, the official number is, but there's a lot of them, so you can find them. But these are some of the interesting ones that we covered today, so I hope you enjoyed that. Any last words, Bert, about that time?
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you can go ahead and check out the video of this over on the YouTube channel. And, please always consider perhaps supporting the show through a donation. Link is in the episode description. That helps us take care of some of the things we got to pay for to keep the show up and running. And, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. That will definitely help us build up our listenership as well and get the good word out about the show. And on top of that, man, it's very interesting for us to hear your feedback, whether it's through reviews or sending us an email or visiting one of our social media channels like on Facebook, giving some comments. That's always fun and interesting to see what people want to hear about or their feedback on
their
photos.
Send us an email, voicesinjapan@gmail.com, or leave a comment. You can leave a comment on YouTube. Start a discussion going on, possibly. That'd be really helpful and fun for us to interact with you guys. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope to see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.